music.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a brand new edition of Strange Music's podcast interviews. My name is Victor Sandoval, and I'll be your host. And today we have a very rare and special appearance from Strange Music's own Brother Lynch Hung. With the historic release of Mandible Lecter, the album earlier this week, Lynch joins us today to speak on the album, his career, and what lies ahead for the Sacramento veteran. Lynch will also be taking your calls live, so please call us at 347-994-3066 and press 1 to speak live with Brother Lynch Hung. Please make sure you're pressing 1, and that way we know that you're trying to get through. Before we're joined by Lynch, let me just remind everyone that Mandible Lecter, the final chapter in the Coat Hanger Strangler trilogy, is now available. You can get it on iTunes, or you can head to Best Buy if you're a collector and you like hard copies. Mandible Lecter features Tech N9ne, Yellow Wolf, Hobson, and Burns and Wreck of Mayday. Great production from Seven, a lot of other great features. You don't want to miss out on this piece of Strange Music history. Now, we do have a lot of callers lining up today, so I'd like to remind you now at the top of the show to please be mindful of everyone's time as we're trying to get through to everyone. And I think we have Lynch on the line right now. Lynch.
What's up?
Hey, what's up? How are you doing?
Chilling, man.
Cool.
Doing interviews and stuff today. Alan Biz.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're having a busy day today.
Not too busy for you.
Awesome, man. You know, we appreciate it. You know, it's been a while since you've been on the podcast. And, of course, with Mandible Lecter, we had to have you back on. Always a pleasure. And I just want to start off here at the top with, you know, this is where we have to start pretty much, is the album is out. It's the closing of 3 years of work. What's been going through your mind?
Glad to be done. I couldn't wait for people to get the whole story in their hands. I didn't want to leave people worrying, you know, about that for too long. So finally got everything out and feeling great.
It sounds like it's almost a relief for you.
Yeah, because, you know, I want to get back to rhyming regular. Everybody thinks that's all I talk about. They forget that it was a three-album trilogy, you know what I mean? So I want to get back to doing some other shit, especially for the new fans. I don't know if I can cuss or not, but for the new fans. Okay, yeah, for the new fans, I don't want them to think that's my only talent.
Right. You know what's so interesting is not many artists would have the patience to do three albums worth of the same concept, let alone stretch it over 3 years. Was there ever a point where you didn't want to do the story anymore? Did you ever, like, almost walk away from it?
Nah, never came close. You know why? Because before I even signed with Strange, I had this idea because nobody's ever done it before. And I'm into this thing of trying to drop albums or projects that nobody does because everybody seems to do a lot of the same things. Most artists seem, you know, to catch on to the hottest thing going on. And make an album sounding similar just to blow up. And I'm not that type of artist. I'd rather come up with something unique all the time. I mean, when I do retire, I do want to be known for doing something different every time. If you listen to any one of my albums over the years, they were all different.
Okay, and, you know, one thing that I wanted to ask you was Strange Music is known for releasing albums at such a rapid pace. There's always content out. And I know that you've said before that you like to take your time with albums. How was that with this album? Were you able to take more time with this one?
Yeah, they gave me, they did me a solid with that one. They let me take my time. They let me feel comfortable about the time limit, you know. They didn't rush me. Of course, when I got out to KC to record the album, I only had 3 weeks, which was more than enough time. I got more songs done than are on the album. So they let me sit back home and plot and plan for this last album of the trilogy, and that was great.
What was the chemistry like between you and Seven this time around? I know you guys have worked on your other two albums, but it seemed like he did just about everything on this one.
Me and Seven, we always work together great. I mean, he's an incredible producer. I mean, all you got to do is tell him your idea. Maybe a day or so later, he shoots you a email and says it's done and sends it to you, and it's everything that you wanted. It's like he pays attention to what you're really trying to do. So,
Yeah, and you know, your music sounds nothing like anyone else on Strange Music because of what you and Seven have accomplished with this big cinematic sound. And it made me want to ask, you know, is it difficult to write to that kind of music? I mean, a pretty good example of that is Crocodile. That's a really unorthodox beat.
Yeah, it was different for me, but you know what? I love the challenge, you know, and the fact that it doesn't sound like nothing on Strange or nothing out, period, that's a plus for me because I like those challenges. I've been doing it for 27 years now, and the reason why I kind of stopped producing for myself is to venture out and mess with different, you know, producers to bring more out of me.
So you mentioned that you sort of stopped producing for yourself, but did you have any hand in the actual production on this particular album?
I came up with the idealism of Murder, Death, Kill. I did a beat here in Sacramento. I sent it to Seven because, you know, he has all the better drums and stuff, and he remade it and added some stuff to it.
Oh, okay. So it was sort of a collaborative.
That was the only thing. Yeah, you know, I just came up with the main idea, and Sev just put that Seven stamp on it.
Do you think that you found a good balance between carrying the story and showing off your lyricism on Mannibal Lecter? Because I know people will often say that Dinner in a Movie was good for the story and Coat Hanger Strangler was good for the lyricism.
I think what I was trying to do is be a little more hip-hop and not just horror. You know what I mean? I love the lyrics on Mannibal Lecter. Dinner in a Movie is a hard album to top. Coat Hanger Strangler was mostly me trying to stay in the storyline and get these featured artists on Coat Hanger to stick with the story. But Mannibal Lecter, I love the lyrics on this. It's more hip-hoppy and hoping to get, you know, let people know that I've been doing stuff since the 80s so I could do that hip-hop thing.
Yeah, and you know, you did this recent interview with Hip Hop DX where you sort of touched on that, and you talked about some of those earlier influences. Who were some of those rappers in that time frame who were motivating you to do what you do?
Well, I was, you know me, I'm a big tape. When tapes were out, I'm a big tape buyer, so I had Rakim. You know what I mean? I had KRS-One, Slick Rick, storytelling. You know, I'm not a... Learn some stuff from his storytelling. LL Cool J. And, you know, and artists like that. I mean, I'm all about lyrics. So, you know, any old school artist from the 80s that I'm going to have in my tape deck or my CD deck now is going to be people who had lyrics.
Yeah, this is sort of a loaded question for you, I guess, because it can be, I don't know, maybe controversial, but... Do you prefer the music of that time frame versus the music now?
There in maybe the 90s, but that could be 50-50 because, I mean, you couldn't download songs then. Everybody had to go get the CD. So I kind of put them in the same category in that sense. But I do think that artists took more time to make concept albums, you know, back then, to where now they just kind of throw songs in order and put the album out. It doesn't have, no album has any, like, subject matter, seems like these days. And I'm not saying one to be able to say that, but it's just ridiculous.
Right. And, you know, on Mannibal Lecter, you made it pretty clear that you're unhappy with a lot of what comes out in hip hop. So I could see where you would say that maybe the issue is the albums don't feel like albums anymore.
They really don't. You know, since the mixtape era, I mean, people think they really could just go ahead and just make some songs and not really worry about the order that the songs come in. And I'm an artist that's just the opposite. Like, I really like spend a lot of time figuring out what songs needs to come where. And so my album doesn't die out. I don't like to buy albums that die out in the end because they're just putting the songs that they like less on the end. Has to be a reason why they're there.
Right. And, you know, speaking of lyricism and the actual craft, I've always been curious about your writing process. Do you like to write in the studio or at home? Is it a late night thing for you?
I'd rather write in the studio, but obviously I'm here in California and I love to record in you know, KC. I get a lot of the ideas here at home, and I jot them down. And if I come up with a couple cool lines, I'll just jot them down. When I get to KC, that's when I do the serious writing.
So you really you're able to really hone in while you're in the studio. That's actually really cool.
Yeah, you know, I'm the type of artist that I don't want no old stuff out. The album's already going to be 3 or 4 months, you know, old to me. before we drop it. So I don't want nothing that I wrote a year ago to come out. I want it fresh off the press as it can be.
Yeah, that reminds me of an interview, I think, with Dr. Dre, where he talked about how Tupac would just write in the booth all the time. And I was always fascinated by the way that rappers are able to just sit there and write in the moment.
Oh, yeah, that scene... That period, you know what I mean? Being in the studio and knowing that as soon as you know, do your work in the studio, it's going to come out very soon. That's the best thing in the world.
So when you're constantly writing these songs based around horror, what kind of things are you doing for inspiration? Are you someone who watches movies?
I watch a lot of the ID channel. That's my favorite channel on TV.
Okay.
I watch FearNet, you know what I mean? I love horror movies. I got a whole bunch of horror movie DVDs. I collect them. But the ID channel, you know, I grab a lot of inspiration from that channel because it's real.
Right. I think you even mentioned it on Mannibal Lecter, I think.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah.
I sleep to that channel.
Okay, I definitely believe that. One thing that I've sort of formed in mind, and you can tell me whether I'm right or wrong, or whether it's a fair comparison, but listening to these albums, Dinner and a Movie, Coat Hanger Strangler, and of course, Mannibal Lecter, there's this story of this individual who is just delusional and pretty much losing his grip on reality, and I can't help but think of American Psycho, and I wanted to ask you if that's a fair comparison between the two.
Pretty much. The only difference is, you know, he was a musician. Mannibal Lecter was a musician who got frustrated because his career went so bad. You know, he was unable to make money. He got jacked for some labels jacked him for his money. He got so tired of it and just went nuts and said, forget it, I'm going to figure out another way to become big.
How much of that is based on real life experiences?
About 30% of it.
Okay, so you were still able to put in a little of yourself into it.
Yeah, I put in a little of myself. I am a frustrated, not going to become bitter because my fans helped me stay out of that bitter state, but you know, I've been with some labels who has made millions of dollars off of me, and I don't have $1 million, so.
Right. And you're right, your fans have stuck with you through it all. And on the flip side of that, now you're with Strange Music, which is something that I know you're very proud of.
Oh, yeah.
And it seems like, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, ever since I got with Strange, and I already knew going in that everything's going to be okay, you know. Ever since I got with Strange, everything has been 100, you know what I mean? Them boys got my back, I got their back. And Dave Weiner, who I was signed with at Priority, that made me feel a lot safe too because I didn't really know Trav and them. And now that I know Trav, they're like brothers to me, him and Tech. So everything's going perfect. I've been with Tech for 20 years, but we're both doing our thing, you know what I mean? So we didn't really get to see each other too much. Now it's crazy that we're around each other like that.
And, of course, for everyone listening, Dave Weiner, Travis LeGuin, and, you know, and of course, Tech N9ne, everyone knows him, but all key players in the series.
Yes, sir. Yeah. you know, got to have tech, you know what I mean? And Trav, obviously, you know, he did a great job on the outro of this whole trilogy. And I think he should be an actor personally, but he did a great job, and it was on the spot. You know what I mean? It ain't like, you know, nobody coached him or anything. He just did his thing.
So
Dave Winer's a little more used to it because I always got Dave on my albums.
Yeah, shout out to Dave. He's been on all three, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. You know, we're on the topic of Strange Music, and it seems like since you're joining Strange Music back in 2009, I believe, when you got signed, there's two groups of Lynch fans now. There's the veteran Lynch fans who have been with you through the 90s, and then there's the people who have discovered you with Strange Music.
Right.
What's it been like to have that dynamic in your fan base?
Wow. When I do shows, I'm seeing 13-year-olds all the way up to 40-year-olds at my show, and it's like, wow, I see gray-haired men asking for my autograph. It's crazy. And then I turn around and see a 13 to 14 or 15-year-old asking for an autograph the next in line. And it's crazy. It's like it makes me more satisfied, even though I ain't where I want to be money-wise. I mean, it's almost satisfactory what I'm witnessing right now.
Right, and you know, I was actually on your Facebook page just last night, and I saw a post from a fan, and I wish I knew the fan's name, but the fan actually said that you had touched different generations of her family, and her mom, herself, and her brothers were all listening to your music, and it was just crazy to hear this because I honestly wouldn't think that, but I mean, it's obviously happening.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, I didn't see that particular, but I've got some things like that too, and it's, wow, it's like humbling. Like, I'm not doing this for nothing, you know what I mean? So that's exactly how I feel.
You just mentioned, your own satisfaction, and I have to point this out. You recently tweeted, "I want to be number one on Billboard." What do you think it would mean for the hip-hop industry to see an album like Mannibal Lecter take that top spot?
I would hope that it changes some people's thoughts about lyricery, about lyrics on an album, you know, because that's what I put my pride in, you know what I mean? That's what Tech puts his pride in, lyrics. We're not going to, sink to just making some type of hit with that voice control thing and you know, just to get up there. We're still going to have lyrics on our albums. So is Chris Calico and Cut Calhoun. And I'm hearing a lot of Seth Crew. They pride themselves on lyrics. You know what I mean? As Mayday. You know what I mean? That's the thing about Strange. Strange has people who pride themselves on lyrics. And I think eventually that will carry over.
Yeah, definitely something that I'm sure more than enough people can agree with. And, you know, on that note, actually, I'd like to get some of these callers here that we have. We have a lot of fans waiting to speak with you. So to everyone who's listening, if you'd like to reach us, please make sure you are calling 347-994-3066 and make sure you press 1 so that way we know you're trying to get through. Let's shoot on over to Alex in Dayton, Ohio, and let's hear what he has to say. Alex.
What's good?
What's good?
Shit, man, I want to show respect. I've been down with Lynch since my brother-in-law got me introduced to you in 2000, man.
Oh, good shit, man. Appreciate that, man. Thanks for the
Hell
support.
Yeah. Oh, dude, anytime. I just wanted to know, how long your relationship with Strange, how long you think that'll last. And I'm going to be going to the Independent Powerhouse in Columbus, Ohio. I want to know what I can expect from a sick mate general.
Shoot, man. As far as the relationship question part, it's going to be forever. You know what I mean? I'm the oldest cat on the label. Even when I retire, I'm still going to be Strange forever.
Hell yeah.
In life. You know what I mean? So I know a lot of people ask me, are you going to ever leave Strange and stuff? I get a lot of tweets and stuff, man, but no, I'll always be Strange. You know what I mean? Me and Tech have known each other for 20 years, so it's always going to be that way. What was the second part of your question?
I'm going to be going to the Independent Powerhouse in Columbus, Ohio. Want to know what I can expect to see from you.
Well, I'm going to, I don't want to say too much about the show itself, but I'm going to be following the protocol of the three albums, meaning Dinner in a Movie first, Cohanger Strangler, and then Manimal Lecter. So,
you think we'll get any surprises, anything old school?
Still kind of putting together everything, making sure that it could happen, but I'll definitely have something.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. That's great to hear. I just wanted to get my shout-out to you, and thanks for taking my call, man.
Thanks, bro. Thanks for chiming in, bro.
Oh, hell yeah. Much love. Keep it strange.
Much love.
Get sick.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, man. Thanks for that great call. Let's keep it moving here. Let's go over to Kiefer in Washington. He's got a good question.
Hey, Lynch. Huge fan right here. Been all the way down with you since Season of the Sickness all the way until now, and wanted to know if with your three albums that you had, if you're going to do like what Snoop Dogg did and release a DVD where you follow it up and add a little bit of actual movie to it combined with those three movies.
Well, we've talked about it. Right now, our main goal right now is to make sure we get everything done and ready for this Independent Powerhouse tour. But best believe I will be calling the boss and seeing if we can do something like that. For right now, though, you can go to cohangerstrangler.com where you could, not exactly right now for the newest videos, but you'll be able to go watch all the videos in order there. That's something we'll probably talk about later on.
All right, well, I appreciate the call, and keep it strange, and big fan, going to keep listening till I die, and very glad that you signed to Strange, and just thanks for everything and keeping it all the way gangster with everything.
All right. Thanks you too, man. Thanks for chiming in, bro.
All right. Later, man.
All right.
All right, man. Shout out to Washington. That was a great question.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. A lot of love from the fans. Let's hear from Derek out in Colorado Springs. Derek.
Oh, hey, what's up, Lynch?
Hey, what's up, man? Just eating meat.
Hey, man. Shit, been listening to you, man, ever since 24D, man, since I can remember. I was 13, ever been bumping you, man. Just got your new CD the other day. Man, all
yes,
I keep
sir.
Playing in my head. Murder, death, kill, you're hungry. Just wanted to give you props, man. And,
thanks, man.
Shit.
Thanks, man.
How long do you think you're going to be going Strange in Season of the Sickness and all that shit, but all I keep hearing in my head too is that sick May, sick May. What's up with that?
Well, it's May sick now. I own Sick May still, but with another partner who's off into some other stuff right now. So I started May Sick Music. I got G Mac and Cali Bear Gang out on May Sick Music right now, and that's just a label that I'm trying to help the homies. So I started this label, and we're doing okay. So. Yeah, if you can, support them, too.
Yeah, that's what's up, too, because Tech is something I like, you know what I'm saying? But Lynch is something I've always listened to way before Tech. But since you got with that Strange, every time y'all come out with something, I'm just waiting to hear y'all two together on something, because y'all spit so raw. It's just like, man, how y'all come up with it? It's so sick, dude. Like, I just can't believe it, you know what I mean?
Hey, I wouldn't be able to do it without Strange, you know what I mean? So... as far as this three-album trilogy, I didn't ever know how I was going to get this done. But Strange made it happen, so it's all good.
Yeah, and I got all three albums too, bro. So I'm going to stick with you, and every time you get something, I'm going to be right there and get it, bro.
Good luck, bro. For sure, man. Thanks for the support. And I always promise you that I'll keep coming with that heat.
For sure, man. I love it, man. Keep coming.
Thanks. Much love, bro.
All right, man. Derek on Colorado Springs. Obviously, Colorado, a huge market for Strange. Let's keep it moving here with Tucker out in Bend, Oregon. Tucker.
Hi.
What's up? Is he on?
Oh, wait. Who's still on? Derek, are you on still?
Well,
that's what happens to technical difficulties. All right, everyone, hold on one sec. We got you. Okay, cool. All right, well, sorry about that, Lynch. We fixed it. Let's hear from Tucker out in Bend, Oregon.
Yes, sir.
Hey, what's up, Lynch?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, so I got a question. I'd love it if you'd answer it for me, man.
Yeah.
The ending, not Crocodile, but Dead Bitch, man. The ending after that had everybody shocked, man, including me. I just wanted to know what made you choose that ending, man. Like, you shooting yourself into that end, man. Like, what's up with that?
Well, I mean, you heard the song, I Tried to Commit Suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, mentally, I've come not really close, but you could tell it was on my mind. And my mom had passed away. It's another way of bringing back my mom. So it's sort of like a therapy, you know what I mean? I got to talk about my mom, even though the ending was weird. I'm thinking I'm killing my mom, but still, you know, I got to bring her up, and now I get another 3 or 4 years of focusing on thinking about my mom and shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man, I after I heard it, I had to get up and sit back down, man. Had me shot, man. Yeah, dude, I was kind of confused, actually. I was like, you're like, Mom, open the door, Mom. I was like, wait, what? Mom. And, yeah, man, I mean, the ending was great. I loved it. The album was amazing. Thanks. Songs, man.
Thank you.
Especially Pac, man, even Mellow Yellow, for real, dude.
Yeah,
man, but that's about it. Thanks for your time, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for calling in, bro. Much love, man. I can't wait to get out there, man, do some of this live for y'all.
Yeah, man, that's cool. Hope to see you out here.
Yes, sir.
All right, man, peace.
All right, peace.
All right, cool. Shout out to Tucker, man. Let's take one more caller here before we jump back into the interview. And for everyone listening, don't worry, we're coming back to a lot of you because there's a lot of you waiting to talk to Lynch here. Let's hear from Sam out in Stockton.
Hey, what's up, Honey Killer?
Hey, what's up, bro? Honey Killer.
Probably about 2 or 3 questions. I'm going to ask, you remember the Euthanism album?
Yes, sir.
You know that Spider insert track? I mean, you probably got this question before, but, I mean, what's that song in the background, man? I've been trying to get it for years.
What, the title itself?
Nah, the song that's playing in the background. It's a skit. You remember that guy, where is he, man? Then he gets choked or some shit. I don't really know what the hell's going on. It says Spider insert on it.
Oh, shoot, man. I would have to hear it.
I think it's
just
in the background. It sounds just like him.
Who is it?
I think it's Six.
Oh, yes, definitely Six. You're right. You're right. Six
was
locked up. It was released on my Made Sick label heck of years ago. What was it? Maybe like 98 or something. 97
school,
or 98.
Like, yeah.
I'm
trying to pop that. I don't know where the hell to get it. I mean, it's, you know what I mean? Is it even for sale anywhere or anything?
Hit me on Twitter, man, and I'll follow you. Tell me, and let me know that I'll talk to you on this phone call, and I can get that for you. His son has all this stuff now.
Yeah, I was going to say, shit,
you know
I don't have Twitter, man, but would I be able to hit you up on Facebook or something? Because if not, I'll just make one.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, hit me all right,
yeah,
Facebook.
I'll send you an instant message, or what should I post on your wall, or just message you or something.
Yeah, what you don't know is Six helped me, like, create this crazy style that I got, too, so that's a big thing.
Yeah, I've been listening to all that shit, the Nigga Deep album, everything, man. Like,
back
in the day when I, you know, started getting out of mainstream rap, my cousin put on Corpse Came to Dinner. I was like, who the hell is that? Oh, another thing, too, with Doja Click, I know she's been doing shit with Doja Click. I was like, hell yeah, because, you know, once I got out of rap and got back into rap, that's what I was listening to, Lynch, Rated, Doja Click, and all that shit, and now I see you guys doing work together. I was like, fuck yeah, perfect combination.
Hell yeah, man, NorCal.
Yeah,
man.
Another
good
question
look.
Too I had was, is D-Dub going to be in any of your future shit or what?
No, I ain't seen D-Dub in about 6 or 7 years, last I heard. he was still doing music, and he's doing some bodyguarding. So,
oh shit,
he's a short, little buff guy, so I can understand that.
All right, cool, cool. Well, shit, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm gonna hit you up on Facebook then, and yeah, let me know where I can find that shit. I'll pay and all that. I've been fucking collecting all you guys' music since back in the day, all yours, Six, Lynch, all that good shit.
Much love for that, man. My Facebook has the cartoon icon with the Mannibal Lecter mask on, because I know it's about 3 or 4 Kevin Mann Facebooks out there.
Okay.
All right, good luck, bro.
All right.
Yep.
Take it easy.
Yep, you too.
Oh, shout out to Sam out in Stockton. Man, you're getting a lot of old school fans today.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Man, I was thinking since they got older that kind of leaving rap alone, but I guess not.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy about it is they seek out all of your music, you know, every feature, every single, everything they can find.
Yeah, man, Nigga D, man, that didn't even really, like, come out nationally. It was something we released on our own, and it kind of blew up. We were putting it on consignment and all the Tower Records, so that was pretty big for him to have that.
So now for everyone who's listening, or if you're just joining us, we have Brother Lin Chong here live on the Strange Music Podcast, and we've been talking about Mannibal Lecter and getting your thoughts on hip-hop in general. Now, you were a part of one of my favorite interviews recently with Hip Hop DX, and while I really don't want to beat a dead horse, I do want to dig a little more into this quote that you said, where you said, the ultimate goal is Eminem, which is that you want Eminem on a track. And, you know, you go on, or they went on to ask you if you've ever heard whether or not you've influenced them, and that was really interesting to me because I wanted to get your thoughts on how do you react? I mean, you know, how do you react to that if you were to hear, yeah, I had an impact on someone who has been at the top of the mountain for the last decade?
Whoa. That would be pretty crazy if I had some impact on that. But like I said before, until I get true confirmation, you know. But if it did, that would be some great stuff, man. I never knew anybody was, you know, semi-like me in this world when it came to rapping besides my homie Six. You know what I mean? And then when Eminem came out, I was like, wait a minute. This is crazy. Finally found somebody on that, you know, being on the side of the fence that I'm on.
And what's crazy is that Eminem has brought this horror-influenced music to the mainstream, which it seems like almost like no one else has really been able to do the way he has, especially with tracks like Kim and 3AM and, of course, his stuff with Bad Meets Evil. Why do you think people will accept that style from him but shun it when others try to do it?
I don't know. It could be major label, major minor label, I should say. I don't want to play the race card or anything, but I don't know. He was able to do it. I really don't know. I know I had been doing it for 20-something years and maybe 15-something years before he came out, even though I wasn't out. I started rapping in 1983, but I never thought that kind of rap would even be mainstream, but he did it.
Right. Speaking of mainstream, in the same interview, you praised Yella Wolf, and then you actually spoke about Hobson, and you mentioned how you discovered both of their singles or their videos online. Are you always looking out for new talent?
Definitely, because, you know, I'm not really the type to go by any mainstream, so YouTube gave us all a chance to, you know, put ourselves out there. So I really don't necessarily look for the person with the most hits. I look for, you know, I look around for where people are mentioning guys, and I might give them a listen. And I kind of lucked up on Hobson. I knew he had did a track with Tech N9ne before, and Tech is the same way I am. He's all about lyrics, so I gave him a listen, and I was blown away.
Now, let me ask you, aside from Eminem, who's the big one, and that's actually something you share with Tech, who else have you been looking to work with?
Of course, Royce 5'9", Crooked Eye. You know what I mean? Both of those dudes got lyrics up to, you know what I mean? Let's see. Not too many Corrupt, even though I've already done some stuff with Corrupt, but I would still work with Corrupt, you know what I mean? Even Snoop and Daz, you know what I mean? But I'm all about lyrics. Anybody that got lyrics, let's go.
Okay, yeah, and I think we've seen that so far with a lot of the collaborations that you have handpicked for your albums. A little earlier, someone brought up Tech N9ne, and you were speaking on Tech N9ne, and you always speak really highly of him. And I know you two have known each other for a very long time. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he used to open for you.
Yeah, that's how I met him. That's crazy too. Now I open for him, so that's it worked out how it was supposed to. Because Tech is hell of a talented guy, you know what I mean? So, and he also has the drive and admiration and loves rap like I do. So. It was beautiful, man. I'm hoping he's loving it just like I am. I'm a big fan of Tech. So, I mean, I probably might be his biggest. You know what I mean? I don't think nobody could touch him. I think that he needs to be solidified as the best, fastest rapper. No disrespect to Twister, but that boy got it cracking.
That's so funny that you say that. It's crazy how things work out, and you know, you sort of switch positions, but you're both where you need to be right now, and both of your fans really support the two of you. You know, and in your case, you have all the fans who've been with you since before Strange Music.
Yes, and you know, they're catching on. Like my old fans, you know, are catching on to Tech too. You know, we're like giving each other what we need, so I think it's working out great.
Now, you were talking about Strange Music a little bit earlier, and I wanted to ask you what your experience has been like with the label up to this point.
Everything's perfect. I mean, I wish I could have been on a couple of more tours, and it wasn't on them, it was on me, you know, going through what I went through in my life, but we're going back on tour now, and everything's starting back up.
Right, the Independent Powerhouse Tour 2013, which one of our callers actually brought up. And I'm sure, you know, what's so cool about this is now Lynch fans, they get to see you again. It's been a while maybe since they've seen you, maybe for the ones who couldn't go to your solo shows. The last tour you did with Strange was the Strange Days Tour in 2010.
Right. I'm going to be happy to see them again. You know, like I always say, you know, when you do a Tech N9ne tour, a Strange Music tour, you're never worried about having small shows. You're always having big shows. You know what I mean? Never worry about the crowd.
So being on a bill like this, you know, you've got Tech N9ne, you've got Chris Calico, Cut Calhoun, and, of course, now you have Cess Crew and Ritz. I mean, everyone's got to step the game up. What kind of things are you doing to really put your stage show out there this time around?
Well, I don't want to reveal too much because I'm still working on it. I definitely am going to be, you know, going on stage either close to Tech N9ne or just before Tech N9ne. So definitely going to try to hype stuff up before he goes on stage because you already know he's the king of the stage as far as underground to me. So definitely got to do something special.
Now, let me ask you this about life on the road, because Strange Music is known for traveling just, I mean, most of the year, actually. It's pretty insane. But for someone like yourself, do you particularly like being on the road? Are you someone who enjoys the touring aspect of your career?
When I get on the road, yeah, I do. When I'm not on the road, no, I don't. So
okay.
Basically, when I go to work, I love the work. And when I'm at home, I enjoy time at home.
Right. What are you personally looking forward to the most on this tour?
Getting to these fans, because I haven't seen them in a while. You know what I mean? I want to see the reaction from the new album. I'm doing some songs off of the new album. I want to see the reaction. I see tweets and all that stuff, but I'm going to see it live. You know what I mean? That's and getting around United States. I hardly ever get to get around United States, and hopefully we hit some other spots that I didn't hit on the Strange Days tour.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Definitely. You know, I know we're seeing the tweets, we're seeing the Facebook posts. Fans are really excited to see your name up there on the bill.
Good shit. That's it. I'm excited to see them back, too. So,
definitely, man. Now, I should probably address this to all our callers. We're actually having a really slight issue with our connection here at Strange Music HQ. So I'm just going to kick it here with Lynch on the interview part of this segment for a little bit longer, and I'll try to get back to all the callers as soon as we can. But if you're still listening, you know, of course, we're here live with Brother Lynch Hung. We've been talking about Mannibal Lecter. We're just talking about the tour. Another really cool thing that I wanted to bring up is this interview piece that you did with Hip Hop DX. We brought it up already, but I was reading this, and you speak about some of the screenwriting that you do. And I wanted to ask you, where are you today with your skills as a screenwriter?
I don't know. I got to kind of leave it to everybody else. I kind of auditioned with this three-album trilogy musically, and people seem to like that. So hopefully it transfers over to screenplay writing, and people will like that, because I'm definitely going to go over the board with that too. So I have a lot of ideas.
How did you first get into that?
Just wanting to be in movies. And I figured if nobody's going to hire me, because I'm more into the music part, I'd do a Spike Lee on them and write myself in my own movies.
Oh, okay. No, definitely taking control. So you do want to make that crossover into acting?
Yes, definitely. I mean, it's been something that I've been wanting to do since I was a kid, but music, for some reason, overshadowed that. So I have projects on the under and in the making that I've been working on movie-wise and screenplay-wise that's basically been sitting around until some avenue opens up for me.
How has that been, trying to balance both sides? Here you have rap, and now here you have you're pursuing this film career. What's that been like?
Well, you know what? I kind of made it easy on myself. Since the three-album trilogy, I've been already on some horror stuff. So it kind of evened it out, you know. I've been writing horror movies, and now, you know, I'm doing a three-album trilogy about horror. So it's kind of easy. I just feed off of each other. Like, something I do on the album may go in the movie or something like it. So it kind of made it a little easier.
Yeah, definitely, man. And, you know, it seems like it's the year for Strange Music artists to get into movies. I know you know about Tech being in The Devil's Carnival.
Yes, sir.
And it'd be crazy to see you in that kind of role as well.
Well, you know, we'll see what the future brings. My little brother got my back, you know. And if not, if he has no control over it, that's cool too. You know, I'll keep pushing. You know, I mean, I'm the last person that wants to provide Tech, such a hard worker, with any pressure about anything.
I have it might be a tough question for you of all people, actually, but I've always been very curious if you have a number one horror movie, your absolute favorite above all else.
That would have to be Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but you know what comes in close second is the first movie of Hostel. Part one.
Oh, wow. Okay. Probably the most gruesome of those.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, man.
Although I do like the storyline for part two, though, too. Part three, I don't know. That's why everybody was worried about, you know, Mannibal Lecter, the three-hour trilogy, hoping that, you know, nobody does like Halloween. They can just keep coming out with, you know, movie after movie, and it still works. I feel like I could do that too, but I need to move on.
Yeah, definitely, man. And you actually just brought up something really interesting about trilogies, is that not too often do trilogies live up to the hype. You know, you have the first one and it's really good, and you have the sequel and that maybe is as good as the first one, and then by the third one sometimes it falters a little bit. So that's kind of crazy that you were able to keep that level of quality with your material.
Yeah, I mean, when you audition, bro, you're really going at it, you know. That's major reason why I came up with this trilogy. I want to show people, and it also, on the other side, it shows that I can keep it going with this album stuff. Like, I don't want to be an artist that does the same thing, too. You got a lot of one-hitter quitters out there that will make an album or maybe two albums that's really, really hot, and then they drop off. That is my main goal, is to never drop off. If I feel I'm going to drop off, I'll retire.
Oh, man, and you know what? And your fans don't think you've dropped off, so you're in good standing. And, you know, speaking of the fans, we actually have fixed our connection, guys. So I'm actually going to take a few calls from the fans we have here, because there's so many of you waiting to speak with Lynch. And if you're trying to get through, again, let me remind you to call us at 347-994-3066 and press 1. Let's shoot over to Chris in Colorado. Chris. Chris, are you with us?
Hey, what's good?
Hey, what's good?
Hey, man, I heard another caller. He answered one of my questions. It was about D-Dub, but now that you dropped, you know, your last, you know, your third album with your trilogy with Strange, you know, are you gonna bring any more Funk Beta beats out or anything like that?
Me and Funk Beta got something, you know, in the works right now. You know, he was trying to do some things with his life. He didn't have a lot of time for production. He just had a new baby. And so I was letting him get that part of his life handled. So now me and Beta are starting to work on some stuff. And as you know, the boy is a nut. So I can't wait to see what comes out.
I'm looking forward to that, man. And I miss your last show when you came down here to Denver, dude. But I'm looking forward to going to this one, man.
It's going to be
seeing you.
And coming with Strange is like nothing else. You know what I mean? When I came out to Denver my last couple times, you know, you got to worry about the mics and the lighting and all that when you're not with Strange. Now that I'm coming with Strange, you're just going to get the whole show and you're going to get the whole me. So it's all good.
That's what's up. Denver's my high place, man. Going to smoke some good chronic.
Yes, sir. I was out there when that smoke, when the smoke was going down out there. So that was pretty crazy.
That's what's up, man. Well, I'm looking forward to getting those backstage VIPs. Maybe we kick it, smoke some good.
Yes, sir. Already.
All right, man, cool.
That was my question. I really wanted to find out about that Funk Beta. You guys tear shit up together. You and Koss, too, bro.
Yeah, man. Good luck, man. Yeah, he's coming still, too, man. So much love, man. Thanks for timing in.
May 6th.
Yes, sir.
All right, Chris, man. Thanks a lot for that call. A lot of love in Colorado today. Let's go over to Matt in California. Matt.
Yo, is this the Rip Gut?
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, it's an honor to be talking to you right now. I'm a big fan, you know what I'm saying? I've been supporting you since Season of the Sith, homie.
Thanks, man.
But,
appreciate that, bro.
My question is I'm a close friend to Frank Nitti, and I just wanted to know why you missed the last show that was supposed to be out here in Cancun in Redlands.
It was some technicalities. I had some people working for me, you know what I mean, that didn't really handle the job right. You know, I ain't going to mention no names or anything, but it was just a misunderstanding. And Frank Nitti is my boy, my real boy, like my homie. I usually don't do business with my homies because stuff like that happens. So, you know, it was a bad thing.
Right, right. And I just also want to know if there's any tensions, you know, going on between you and Nitti because of that or anything. I just hope everything's cool, you know?
No, it's good. It's good.
Oh, right.
I mean, you know, I mean, and, you can never tell how another man feels, but we talk still right now.
All right. All right, cool, man. And another thing I'm sorry I want to ask is would you ever get, you know, is there ever a chance of you getting back together with First Degree and, you know, making some more tracks?
Doesn't look like it right now, man. It seems like every time I drop an album, he piggybacks piggybacks off of it with a diff or something like that. I don't know what's going on in his head. I tried to hit him on Facebook. He blocked me. So, obviously, he's bitter about something. Until I find out what that is, you know, I'm just leave it to where it's at.
Word. All right. Well, man, big shout-out to Matt out in California. We are running down on time here, so let's try to get to a few more callers, actually. Let's hear from Corey out in Denver. Corey.
What up, Lynch?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, man, I've been a big fan from your old stuff all the way to your new stuff, and one of my happiest days was when you became part of Strange. That was the world. So my question
Mine
is
too.
That, yeah, there you go. My question is, you've done the three trilogies. You're probably relieved that it's all done, but what can we expect next?
I'm plotting them right now. I don't want to say too much, but it's definitely I'm working towards topping the trilogy. Just know that, and it's gonna have lyrics. It's gonna be worth your money. So,
well, that's cool. And the other day, man, I was waiting for your CD. I kept checking the mail, coming back, checking the mail. I was just super pumped, you know. And I'm glad it came out. Also, real quick, I was just going to ask you, man, is there any other time, like, you're going to come out with your blue jersey from Strange, man? I've been waiting on that. It's never up.
You know what? I got about, like, 50 left. I haven't really been trying to sell them because, you know, I just now took over my Made Sick company, and I'm just trying to get all the technicalities out the way, and then I'm sure it'll be up on my website, sicktv.com. So... thank you, man. That's some old school, you know what I mean, shit right there. So that's a good look, man. I'm glad to know that somebody, you know, still on that tip.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, you got much love from my family. I got my brothers and everybody who are huge fans for me. We get Cuzzlo masks and the whole thing, man. We're behind you 100% of whatever you do, and we love the sickness, brother.
Thank you, bro. Man, much love for that, man. And if it wasn't for people like you, man, I don't know what I'd be doing. Trust me.
All right, man. Big shout out to Corey. So cool to hear from those fans. Let's hear from... one second. I'm sorry. I was about to go to a caller who seems to have disappeared. Let's go to Jesse out in Boston. Jesse.
Hey, what's up, man?
I'm loving the new CD.
New CD is definitely the best in the trilogy. Way to finish out the trilogy, man.
Boston, wow. Good look,
yeah,
man.
Boston.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, man,
yes,
I'm looking forward to seeing you in Worcester in April.
Good shit, man. I promise to give you a good show.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I just had one question. I was wondering, what's your favorite recipe for nuts and guts?
What's my favorite what?
Recipe for nuts and guts.
Oh, it's got to have some bayon. If you don't know what that is, I call it bayon, but it's bayou. It's these little meat cubes, beef cubes that you put in, you know, I put it in my deep fried turkey. They're cubes. You throw it in the water. You let it cook for a while until it melts with the meat. You put it in anything almost. I do. You know what I mean? So I think anybody would like nuts and guts if they use that.
Hell yeah. All right, man. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thanks for calling in, bro.
All right, thanks, Jesse. That's probably my favorite question of the entire podcast. That was awesome. let's take one more here. Adam out in Kentucky.
Hello?
Yo.
What's up, Lynch?
What's going down?
Shit, not much, man. I just had to call and say what's up. Tell you I love the way that you mix your lyrics and still keep it hardcore. I love that mixture of the hip hop. And
I had to go a little hip hop on this one.
Yo, I was just saying I can't wait for you to come out with some horror movies when and if you do.
Yes, sir.
And, my main question is, when can I hear something from you and Ritz?
Woo! He just signed, and I was already done with my album, but I would have loved to get him on the album. You know what I mean?
Like,
but
he's got that drive track, you know, and he's eating his homies.
Yeah, man, I'm pretty sure we're going to get it in, you know what I mean? We haven't talked about it yet, but definitely trying to get him on my album for the next Strange album.
Hell yeah. And shit, I'm going to see y'all in Cashville, Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
Can't wait.
Yes, sir, man. I'm going to give you a good show.
All right, well, man, that's all I want to do, show you some love. Show you,
yes,
you got
sir.
Love to KY, too.
Good luck, man. Appreciate it. Tell him much love.
All right. Well, nice talking to you.
All right, thanks for calling in, bro.
All right, man, Adam, thanks for that. Thanks for showing a lot of love to Lynch. And that actually reminds me, for everyone listening, if you're trying to catch Lynch live on the Independent Powerhouse Tour 2013, make sure you're hitting up StrangeVIP.com for all of your ticket information. And, of course, VIP, you get to meet the man himself. Lynch, you know, as we're winding down here on the podcast, first of all, I want to say thank you for joining us today. You know, it's very cool to hear from you. I know sometimes the fans don't get to hear from you all the time, so this was really cool for them.
Yeah, thank you for setting it up for me, bro.
No, absolutely, man. You know, the new album is doing great. Everybody loves it. Do you have any last words for the fans?
I just want to say follow me on Twitter, at Brother Lynch on. Follow me on all my social cams, you know, and all my social networks and stuff. I'm saying social cam because I also got a social cam. Only got 800 followers. Come on, y'all, get your game up and get on that because I drop a little exclusive videos of, you know, my life and stuff if you're interested. And I might shoot out a couple new ideas about upcoming albums on my social cam too, so follow me on that and Twitter. And much love to the fans, and thanks to everybody that called in and tried to call in. And much love to Strange Music, man, for keeping me alive. You know what I mean? I don't know what I'd be doing without them.
Oh, definitely, man. Such a pleasure to have you on. And all the fans, yeah, make sure you check out the social cam from Brother Lynch Hong. You never know when he's going to jump on there with some classical music and blow your wig off.
Yes, sir.
All right, Lynch. Again, man, thank you for being on the show. And to all of our fans, please make sure you check out Mannable Lecter in stores now on iTunes and at Best Buy. And as always, we remind you to keep it strange.
Yes, sir. Grr.
Strange music.